Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day we see how the Bible changes and transforms our thinking. Yesterday, when we read the Bible together as a community, we read a passage from the book of Galatians, written by an early Christian leader named Paul, where he asked the Christian community to avoid the kinds of divisions that were common in his society, divisions based on race and gender. Just to remind you, here's that passage again.
For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
So yesterday we looked at the divisions and a little bit of context, and I asked you to think about what kinds of things divide people today. Now, regardless of what divides us, I think a more important question, though, is what can bring people together? And in this passage, we see that Paul wants the Christian community to be brought together by one superseding identity, one identity that can replace or at least supersede all the others, the identity that's found in following Jesus Christ. And having the Holy Spirit at the center of one's life, living in one's heart. That's what Paul wants people to see first. When they look at someone else, he wants them to see a fellow follower of Jesus, regardless of their ethnicity or gender. When Paul says this, he uses the language of people being heirs to a promise, which is a definite reference to Abraham, who we discussed yesterday. That in the book of Galatians, Paul devotes a lot of time to exploring the faith of Abraham, the great patriarch of the Jews, and whether it was possible for him to basically be in God's good books. Was it possible for him to be saved, even though he lived thousands of years before Jesus walked on the earth? He ultimately concluded that it was, that God's salvation was offered to those who believed in him and trusted in him, who lived by faith. In God's grace, not their own. That God's grace was ultimately shown through what Jesus did in coming to earth, dying on the cross, and rising again. And that moment changed the world, and it meant that those who had put their faith and trust in God, whether it was thousands of years earlier, when Jesus walked on the earth, or later, could be saved, because God's grace is what saves. It's complicated, but that was basically the message he came to. And so when he refers to heirs in this passage, he's saying, you know, like Abraham and all his millions of descendants, we can be heirs to a promise. The promise that God made to Abraham has now been fulfilled in what Jesus has done. Jesus coming, dying, rising was the fulfillment of Abraham's promise. It was a promise for Abraham, his descendants, and those today who put their faith and trust in God and what Jesus Christ has done. Paul wants Christians to recognize one another, other family members, as they travel through life, and to recognize that identity before they look at any other identity, gender, race, and things like that, or whatever else divides us today. Reminds me of recently I traveled to Boston when the Blue Jays just happened to be playing the Boston Red Sox. And although I wasn't there to see a game, I could certainly see it was happening, because as I just walked around town, I'd keep seeing people in those familiar Blue Jays jerseys, those familiar Blue Jays hats. I didn't know anything about them, except that they were probably Canadians as well. I could tell because that identity stuck out to me first. Regardless of their ethnicity or gender, I knew that I had something in common with them. We were Toronto Blue Jays fans, maybe even from Toronto, at least probably from Canada. That identity superseded the others. It was the first thing I noticed about them, and I knew we were on the same team. Paul wants Christians to be the same, to overlook all the things that divide people and to see the one thing that can bring us together, being followers of Christ Jesus. Following Jesus means we can look beyond all those divisions. We can see them as an important part of who we are, an important part of the diversity and beauty of the body of Christ, of the Christian church, and not see them as things to divide us and keep us apart. Now, of course, walking around downtown Boston, how was I supposed to tell the Christians? They didn't wear jerseys. However, we are supposed to be able to go through life showing signs of the Spirit to others, so that others look at our actions and our words and they say, I think the Holy Spirit might be in that person. We're supposed to be recognizably Christian, where we're starting to practice life in God's kingdom. Even though we're not there fully yet and we'll make mistakes, our attempts to follow Jesus in this life, our attempts to live in God's kingdom now, are meant to be evident not just to us but to others as well. And that kind of leads us into today's question that I want you to take away and think about yourself, but also discuss with some friends, neighbors, colleagues, fellow commuters. Our small groups are an important part of what we do as a community, that we're not just a bunch of isolated people listening and watching to something, but that we're sharing what we're learning with others, even if they can't watch the videos or listen to the podcast with you at the same time. As long as you're watching on the same days, whenever you are together, you can discuss what you're learning. Here's today's question. When have you ever recognized a new acquaintance to be a Christian? What tipped you off? What about your life might tip off others to the Holy Spirit being active in your life? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.